This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Michael Toscano. He's the president of the Association for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International, and their group this week has been putting some pressure on the FAA to try to get some movement forward on getting permission to use these unmanned systems in the airspace to do all kinds of things that they're eager to do. So, Michael, thanks for talking to us today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here, Mary.
Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit, what is it exactly that you're asking the FAA for, and what is your time frame?
Well, the FAA is obviously responsible for the safety of our skies, anything that's either manned or unmanned. And in as such, right now there is a booming industry, a revolutionary type in, technology called unmanned aircraft systems. And what we're asking the FAA to do is to not postpone further delays with the notice for proposed rulemaking for these small unmanned aircraft systems. This rule was supposed to be in place by 2009. Now, we understand there's been a lot of situations that have taken place with sequestration, and the resources that the FAA have been limited, and they have done a great job in other areas. But this is one where we feel that if we keep sliding to the right from a timeline standpoint, this technology is being developed in other nations around the globe. And the United States may be missing out on an opportunity here to be or to continue to be the leader in this industry.
Now, how would you define small? Do you have, a precise sort of cutoff point there?
Well, the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012, Congress articulated several aspects, and they considered basically small to be 55 pounds or less, flying at about 400 feet and below. So there's a great opportunity for us to look at, no pun intended, low-hanging fruit where this technology could be utilized during the daytime, less than 400 feet, 55 pounds or less, for things like precision agriculture, for pipeline monitoring, for power line monitoring, things of this nature, where the risk to a human being or the safety aspect is very well known and very low, as well as, right now there's concerns that people have about privacy. Well, again, if I look at those three applications I just identified, there is very little concern about privacy because there's no one physically there and it doesn't present a safety hazard. So there's three opportunities for which we feel we could start utilizing this technology for a more effective, efficient, and safer outcome of how we do that to those missions today.
Well, the FAA has said they expect to have something out by November. So are you asking them to make this happen like right now?
Well, what we're saying is that if we can do it sooner, that would be great, but we can't really start affording more delays. And the track record for this particular aspect, this small rulemaking decision, has, like I said, been postponed since 2009. That's almost 5 years, and we can't afford to keep kicking it to the right. So this is a case where I believe there's enough information gathered, there's enough smart people that can articulate the utilization of this technology in a very safe and effective manner, and we should try to make sure that we do not slip again from that November time frame. So yes, we would love to do it sooner, and obviously we understand there's a lot of T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted, and we have to make sure that it's safe, because that is the whole purpose of the FAA, to make sure that our skies are safe. And no one wants to see an incident take place. And we do believe that there is enough available technology as well as rulemaking and understanding that we should be able to put together a proper rule for small UAS. And it may be a conditional where it's a growing process. It's a crawl, walk, run. So we need to get the crawl part out there right now, those technology applications for which it fits very well and can be done in a safe manner.
So our readers at AvWeb are, we're interested in small aircraft, maybe private airplanes, sport aircraft, like maybe hot air balloons even, that might be flying in some of these rural areas at low altitudes. What protocols do you see that would ensure safety of separating those kind of operations?
Well, when you look at any of those operations, there's three aspects that you have to consider. One is the, with an unmanned aircraft system, especially the smalls, is the certification of the operator to make sure the operator is properly trained. The certification of the platform, the aircraft, to make sure that it's airworthy. And also, I believe in the early stages, we're going to have to do certification of the operational environment. In other words, where are these things going to be flied? So if you say, I'm going to fly over, I own a 100,000 acre farm, and I'm going to fly over the 100,000 acre farm only. Well, that's that you have a good appreciation and understanding of all of the factors that are considered from 400 feet and below on that particular plot of land and airspace. And you could, with a reasonable amount of assurance, say the probability of a bad incident happening or an accident happening is very small if I follow the following procedures. So that, those are the operations that we look at today that says if people do things in a very responsible way, following the rules, we should be able to utilize this technology to great advantages.
So do the rules include that these drones are operated within line of sight of a human, or do they operate pretty autonomously?
Well, and again, I believe in the beginning, is this crawl, walk, run. In the crawl stage, the answer is probably going to be yes. You'll have to do it daylight, line of sight, 400 feet below, 55 pounds or less under those conditions. So I think if we can specify conditions that allow you to utilize the technology, people will adhere to that. And as we get more and more confident of understanding the risk factors that are involved, we'll be able to extend that further and further. When you saw Amazon and Jeff Bezos' 60 Minutes, he was showing you the run capability as opposed to the crawl and the walk. So we still have to go through the crawl and the walk before we get to the point where we're going to have non-line of sight, semi-autonomous capabilities that are delivering something from point A to point B. And when you talk about unmanned aircraft systems, the reason this is so desirable is that it does two things very, very well. It gives situational awareness, the ability to understand the operational environment. So if you're a firefighter, first responder, you want to have the extension of your eyes and your ears such that it allows you to do your job in a much more effective and efficient way. And the second part, these are great delivery systems. They allow you to deliver packages or whatever your content is to a location in a much more effective and efficient way, and in some cases, a much safer way. There are situations in the world where during the monsoon seasons, 85% of the roads are wiped out. Well, how do you get medicine, food, and supplies to those people that are now cut off and don't have ground transportation? These can deliver medicines, food, and other supplies, water, things like that. And so there's a tremendous need to make sure that we look at these applications and understand where they best fit.
Well, thanks a lot. I think those were my main questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Mary, the only thing I can tell you about this technology, first of all, it's cool. People love working with robotics on manned systems. And the potential that this technology offers is far-reaching. When you look at the number of jobs it will create, the amount of economic impact, you know, we'll have over 100,000 new jobs within the first 10 years that this technology is introduced. And there's such a high potential in jobs that we haven't even thought about. Like, who could have predicted that 10 years ago that writing an app would be a six-figure salary that you would have? We didn't even know what an app was. So as this technology keeps maturing and the maturation of it continues, you're going to see more and more creations of applications, jobs, and wealth that comes along with it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, take care, Mary.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.